Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Let's talk baseball. Royals win against the Yankees in the Bronx last night, 6-5. It was a nail-biter. And right now to talk about that, we have Annie Rogers from MLB.com. She covers the Royals. Hello, Annie. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. It was a... it was an interesting finish. It certainly was a dramatic game. Greg Holland flirts with disaster, but is able to get things locked down to get his fifth save. The Royals' bullpen wasn't great, but neither was the Yankees. And the Yankees and some of the guys that have been struggling in the lineup came up with big hits last night. So just overall, your thoughts on what we saw from the Royals in a very nice win over the Yankees last night?
Yeah, good win for them. Just from what they showed, you had, you know, like you said, the offense come through in the eighth, and some of the guys who hadn't been producing were able to produce. And then you saw the bullpen bend, but you didn't see him break. Scott Barlow did a really nice job coming in to pick up Kyle Zimmer, and then of course Greg Holland had to make it interesting. And I was writing a different game story as the second batter reached there on an intentional walk, but he held on and. He just seems pretty unflappable, as Mike Matheny said yesterday, just with his stuff, and you know he can get outs with it. So makes it interesting, but they're able to hold on. And I can't really say enough about what Chris Bubich did as well, coming in to bail out Brady Singer there in the fourth inning with the bases loaded, getting the first pitch ground out with the curveball, and getting out of that inning to hold the score tied at two. So. Just a good win for them. You know, you saw some things they needed to clean up, but they were able to hold on. And anytime you can win against a team like that at Yankee Stadium is a good thing. So they'll take it. They'll take it.
So question about the bullpen, because we saw some struggles there last night. Is Josh Staumont not available? I know he's not on the IL, but he also hasn't pitched since June 16th. And there are several things he's dealt with. A bad bout of COVID. He had a dead arm. He had the knee problem that was related to overcompensating for the dead arm and a lack of velocity. And so what's the situation? Because it seemed like that there might have been a couple of spots where they might have used him if he was 100%. But, again, he's not on the IL. So do you know what his status is?
That's a great question. Something I was asking myself last night. You know, I'm going to ask after it a bit today just to see where he's at. You know, he was out on the field yesterday playing catch in the rain with all the other pitchers. So he's there and he's playing catch, but you know, he's, like you said, he hasn't been around since June 16th, and Greg Holland has taken up a bulk of those innings that you might have seen Josh Staumont in. You know, Holland threw two out of the 3 days and against Boston, and of course he got the off days. But there were a few spots last night where I would think that Josh Staumont would make sense in, and he didn't even warm up. So it's something that, you know, we're going to ask about today, find out, you know, a little bit more what's going on there. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on as we move forward, just what his status is, and if he's unable to throw, why isn't he on the IL, kind of how the Royals move forward there.
So you talked about Bubich coming in and saving the day. It was tough with Singer because, I mean, he gave up a run in a couple different innings, but he had a scoreless inning. It looked like he was going to have another scoreless inning, and then all of a sudden he walked three guys in a row. What's going on with Brady Singer?
Yeah, it's just a matter of finishing it out. You know, he gets the two outs, and then something goes a little awry, and then all of a sudden you've got the bases loaded against a really good lineup. So it's just a matter of keeping that poise that he's shown before and making sure that he can finish those kinds of innings. That's going to be the next step for him. You know, I think a lot of people kind of forget how young he still is and how he's still learning this game. You know, it's only his second season, so he went through a lot last year too. So I think that's kind of going to be the next step for him to be able to finish those innings. He started the game really well, kind of pounded the zone, and then he got away from that, and then he got back to it, and then he got away from it. So keeping that aggressive mindset, keeping that approach throughout the entirety of his outing is going to be really key for him, especially since he doesn't have, you know, the big arsenal that most starters have. He has two pitches that he's really comfortable with, and of course the changeup that he's working on and trying to throw more in games. So he's going to have to be aggressive with those pitches, and when one of them isn't working, he has to change his approach a little bit. So that's probably going to be the next step for him as a young starter, is to be able to finish what we saw last night. You know, he walks two guys, then he, you know, Matheny lets him stay in to face Luke Voit, and then he walks Luke Voit, and Voit did foul off a few really good pitches, but you know, you've got to be able to finish off that batter there. So that's going to be the next step for him in his young career.
We have Andy Rogers on the line. Okay, so Mondesi went back on the IL. Is and we all agree he's the team's better when he plays, but this is his third stint on the IL. I know you wrote about it at MLB.com. Is there any indication, because oblique, that's just it scares you. It's not just with Mondesi. Obliques take quite a while to recover from. We saw the first time around with him. But is there any indication that this injury is not as serious and he won't miss as much time, or is this all just up in the air? Because that would be hugely disappointing if he was out for another month and a half.
It would be, yeah. There's no word yet on how severe it is. I think with these injuries, you know, they need to rest a little bit before starting those tests again. And of course, when you do test it, it's you don't want to re-injure it. You know, if you try out a swing or anything, so it's kind of fickle there. You know, you saw that early on with his first one. So there's no word yet on what his timeline is and what the severity is. That should come out in the next, you know, a few days to a week. You hope that it's not, of course. Like you said, he's, you know, the Royals are so much better with him in the lineup and in the field. So, you know, you hope that he's able to get back soon, not just for his sake, but for the Royals' sake as well. You know, it's just devastating, really, to the club. Matheny talked about that yesterday, and how, you know, he's hurting for Mondesi, but you know, with the Royals specifically, they have to, you know, have that next man up mentality. And of course, Ryan O'Hearn made an impact last night. But you know, you do question what's going on here. What's the next step for Mondesi, and making sure that he is able to stay healthy and play more than, you know, 10 games that he's played this season.
So as you mentioned, Ryan O'Hearn rejoins the roster with Mondesi going on the IL, and look, his first stint with the team, he wasn't very productive, and it was hard to justify him getting more bats, especially at DH. But he goes to Omaha and freaking hits, 12 home runs in 19 games. I know the ball's flying out of the park down there, but still, you can't ignore what he did. So he comes back up, and right away, boy, he looks different. And they were talking in the postgame on the field about some adjustments he made to his swing. He went 2-for-4 with a home run and another big hit, couple of ribbies. And so I know it's bad news that Mondesi goes on the IL, but O'Hearn, based on what he did at Omaha and what he did last night, looks like he could actually help this lineup with this new approach.
Yeah, absolutely. They need a big bat in there with Jorge Soler and Hunter Dozier both struggling right now, trying to work through those struggles that they've had this whole season. And Ryan O'Hearn can really fill that gap, especially from the left side as well. It'll be interesting to see how the lineup plays out with him. But he just talked really last night about getting comfortable again. You know, he started the season at the alternate training site, and that's hard to get consistent at-bats, game-like at-bats there. So when he did go down to AAA Omaha on May 28th, he was able to play every single day, get, you know, 3, 4, 5 at-bats every single day, and find that comfort level in the box again. And, you know, we can talk swing mechanics and adjustments all we want, but if a player isn't comfortable or confident in it when they step into the box, you know, it's going to be a different story. So that's what he found down in Omaha. The numbers are there, of course. Now it's just about translating that power to the big leagues. You know, he's shown that he can do that before. He showed it last night, And now it'll just be about doing it on a consistent basis. But the Royals are certainly glad that he was able to make an impact last night. He was glad, too, of course.
How do you think the Royals try to handle Hunter Dozier going forward? I've heard some talk about the conversation of is there a certain position that he hits better? I mean, I think the numbers say he hits better at third base, but then maybe that's as tough as defensive position. They're committed to him financially, so that they got to see if they can get him right. But, man, it's been almost worse than a pitcher in the lineup over the course of the season. How do you think they'll handle him going forward this year?
Yeah, it's hard to answer that because, you know, it's so much about what's going on with the rest of the team, right? Like,
yeah.
He needs, you know, they need his outfield experience when Benintendi goes down. And then Gutierrez can step in at third base. And especially with Monacy out now, you need Whit Merrifield back at second base so Nicky Lopez can go to shortstop. So you need Hunter in the outfield again, take over, you know, left field or right field, whatever it is. So I think that makes the question harder because he is so versatile, you know, defensively. He can play a lot of different positions. He can do a good job in that sense. And I think that helps him, too, being able to separate the offense and the defense. You hear a lot of players talk about that. If you're not going well on offense, you can still make up for it on defense. And so that helps him, too. But you're right. You know, it's just a matter of getting him right at the plate. They are committed to him. But at least right now, for the time being, his flexibility in the field is going to be what determines where he plays and not just how he feels at whatever position, just because the Royals need that versatility as they deal with these injuries.
Oh, let's deal with a hypothetical here. This is what Jake likes when we say, right, same response. I'm not for Bobby Witt Jr. to be called up. I want to see him continue to rake at Double-A and then rake at Triple-A and then get called up later this year, next year, whatever. But circumstances often dictate this stuff, right? And so Tampa was not interested at all in calling up Wander Franco because they were playing very well. They were winning. They didn't need him. They lost six in a row. Then all of a sudden, well, let's call up Wander Franco. Let's bring him up now. If the Royals were winning and actually it felt more like they were in a race here, and you looked at what they were getting or not getting out of third base, because let's be honest, I know Dozier's hitting 159, but Kelvin Gutierrez may be an upgrade defensively, but I mean, his slash line after striking out three times, going over four, is 221, 258, 311. That ain't it either. Do you think we'd be hearing something different? Do you think if the Royals were, if they felt like they were in a race for a playoff spot, they would consider calling up Bobby Witt Jr. now, or do you think that would just be off the table no matter what the circumstances were with the big team? Because he can play third base and offer an offensive upgrade. It makes no sense now because they're not competing for a playoff spot, but do you think they would have considered it had they been playing well like they were earlier this year?
It's an interesting question, and I think it would be a completely different conversation if this hypothetical would play out the way you're saying it. Obviously, there'd be a lot of other different factors. It's hard to answer these hypothetical questions because you don't know the whole situation. But I do think that it would be a completely different conversation about him right now if the Royals were making a run for it and were, you know, closer to the top of the division than they are right now. I think, you know, with Wander Franco, it's a lot different, too, because he was in AAA first, and the Rays are much closer to contending. You know, obviously, they went to the World Series last year than the Royals are. So it's a different set of circumstances, but I do see your point in that, you know, he can be, you know, we talked about this in spring training, Bobby Witt Jr. can be a dynamic force in that lineup, and he can be a big boost to it, especially, you know, let's say after the All-Star break and the Royals need a spark in that lineup, you know, he could definitely provide that. But like you said, you know, I just want to caution everybody right now. He's only played, you know, he only played 37 professional games before this year. He's finally getting, you know, the consistency down in Double-A after a slower start. You're seeing him do really well there, but they want to be able to see that consistently and then make the move to Triple-A and then see that consistency consistently, sorry, and then you know, you talk about the promotion. So it's a different set of circumstances than what you saw with Wander Franco and the Rays. But I certainly do think that it would be a completely different conversation if the Royals were, if they were contending for a playoff spot or closer to the top of the division or even closer in the wild card race, definitely.
And I'm with you. Let him continue to perform at Double A, put him up at Triple A, and I'm not even asking them to call him up this year. But I'm also pretty certain, based on what I've seen, he'd be an upgrade offensively at third base compared to what Gutierrez and Dozier have been offering. The bar's not so high that I think he's already past that, clearly. But you know what? The Royals aren't competing right now for a playoff spot, so why start the clock? Why bring him up right now? But we'll see Danny Duffy in his return, and that brings an interesting question. If he can stay healthy, it's going to be a good thing no matter what. He's either going to help the Royals win or possibly, I don't know, he could end up building trade value. Talking to the Royals and covering the team, when do you think they make that decision to where they decide, okay, we are going to be sellers or we are going to consider selling off some pieces? We're not there yet, probably. Do you think we're getting close? Do you think they're going to just hold on to guys and see what they could do? What do you think is, obviously it's going to consider how they play over the next couple of weeks, but Danny Duffy, either way, is an important part of whatever they're going to do, whether they're going to trade off pieces or whether they're going to get back into this thing, and he's back on the mound tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's just going to be a stabilizing force in the rotation. You have to, he needs to show that he's healthy. He needs to show that he can build back up before we start talking about, his trade value or his value toward the Royals later this season. So I think it's just a matter first of, getting that first start out of the way. He's not going to go very far. He only built up to, I think, 2 innings and around 40 pitches in his last live session. So he's going to be there on a limited basis. The Royals are going to have to piece together some innings tonight. So I think that's the first step, is you have to say, okay, he's healthy now. And then now you can move into the conversation surrounding him with his trade value or what he can do down the stretch for the Royals. And then also just moving into next year too, this is his contract year. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So just more of more questions surrounding him and what his future with the Royals. So I think first, like I said, show that he's healthy, show that he can help this rotation. And, he's such a valuable piece. You just hope that he can stay healthy, stay on the field, and make sure that the forearm flexor strain doesn't flare up again.
How deep do you think he can go in the game today?
Matheny wouldn't say the specific pitch count. They've got something in mind. They don't want to tell the opposing team that, of course. Danny Duffy said yesterday, he went 2 innings, so the next level up was probably, 3 or 4, but I think it's just always going to be dependent on how efficient he is. If he gets through 2 innings and, 20 pitches, obviously he can go much, much longer. And also, you talk about, the stress pitches, too. Is he facing a lot of trouble in certain innings? Is he throwing a lot of high-stress pitches? That can play into it as well, so it's a matter of how he feels. He's pretty honest with how he feels too, which is good for Matheny and Cal Eldred on figuring out what to do with his pitch count and who to bring in next.
I'm curious what you think about. Well, it was a hell of a night in baseball with now the umpires trying to enforce baseball's new rules about foreign substances. At the same day, you have Danny Duffy talking about, he agrees with it and it's a good thing that Major League Baseball is doing. He's all in. You have Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo threatening to take their pants off to the umpires, and Scherzer arguing with Joe Girardi, and Girardi's getting thrown out of the game. All hell's breaking loose around baseball. And it appears, Andy, there are many pitchers that don't share that sentiment with Danny Duffy. Just curious what you think about this. You've covered more teams than just the Royals, and Danny Duffy's reaction, and maybe some of the things that other Royals have said about what we're seeing and the fallout now based on what we saw last night.
Yes, makes for an entertaining night. That's for
yes.
sure. You see all these videos.
Right.
You know, pace of play might have been stunted, but at least it was entertaining. I think people would be surprised at how many pitchers use that kind of stuff. You know, maybe not SpiderTech specifically, but like sunscreen and rosin, like that is, it's so many pitchers use it. So I think it's been a big adjustment. I mean, you look at like the spin rates just from last night, around the league, everything is down. And it's just like so apparent that, you know, all of these pitchers are making an adjustment. So that was probably the biggest thing that stood out to me. You know, what Danny Duffy said, you know, I think, you know, he truly believes that is, you know, he said basically he didn't look at analytics until probably 2015. And all he knew is that he had really good extension and good run on his fastball. And, you know, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But I do think that the Royals just made sure that going into last night, their pitchers knew that there'd be severe consequences if there was any sort of substance on them. And we saw Brady Singer get checked last night twice, once when he was, you know, after the first inning, and then once when he was coming off the field in the fourth. So I think that's the biggest conversation surrounding the Royals is, hey, if you use this stuff and if you get caught, there's going to be severe consequences, not just for yourself, but for the team. So make sure you don't do that, right?
Yeah, Brady Singer didn't like it either. I mean, they're just...
He did not.
Right. Well, you know, like
just,
I said...
I mean, it's just awkward. Like,
right.
He's coming off the mound. He just walked three guys in a row. He's getting yanked in the fourth inning, and he's getting checked for like, if he was... You'd think that if he had some foreign substance on him, that he probably wouldn't walk three guys in a row, but... Hey, I mean, the umpires are just doing their job. Like, it's hard for the umpires because, you know, they're told to do this, and it's not their fault. You know, you saw every single pitcher get checked as they came off the mound, you know, especially with the relievers. So I don't know. It's just strange. It's awkward. It's going to take an adjustment to be able to get used to it. It's something that we'll watch, of course, and obviously some pitchers are fired up about it.
And so here's the deal we were talking about earlier. So they've told pitchers to be ready to get checked at least twice, and that's just going to happen. And that's what Max Scherzer was talking about after the game. But then the third time, it was because of Joe Girardi who told the other thing, go check him again. And so that's when Max really gets pissed off, because that was the third time in five innings. That's, well, yeah, I'll take my pants off, whatever else. But so managers are going to take note of what pitchers get irritated by this. And even, don't you think, even if they don't believe they're using a foreign substance, they're going to do it just to get under their skin.
Just because, take his pants off.
Guess what? Next time Brady Singer's on the mound, if I'm the opposing manager, and after they do it a couple of times, I'm gonna tell him to do it again, because there's a chance he's going to lose his mind. And I'm definitely doing it when Romo's on the mound, and I'm definitely going to do it if I'm a manager when Scherzer's back on the mound. And so then managers, they're going to end up doing this and challenging this, even if they don't think that there's a foreign substance, just to try to piss off the other pitcher and get in his head, right?
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, it clearly disrupted the rhythm, and just like the game kind of, it got really chaotic for a few minutes. So you throw a pitcher off his game, and you disrupt the rhythm of it. But you, on the other side, you have to be ready as a manager for that to happen to your team too, if you're going to do that. So you better hope that none of your guys are using anything, and you better hope that your guys aren't going to get mad when their rhythm is disrupted, right? So I think it's the gamesmanship questions, you know, conversation, but it'll be definitely interesting to see how that plays out the rest of the series with the Phillies and Nationals. You know, kind of see the retaliation. Obviously, you know, just something to keep an eye on. I think managers are kind of in a tough spot. The umpires are in a tough spot. It's just weird. It's going to be an adjustment period, and then, you know, after we all get used to it, it'll feel normal again, I think. But at least for these, maybe these next few weeks, even maybe the rest of the season, it's going to definitely seem strange every time anything big happens.
Yeah, just wait till a pitcher throws at one of the hitters because the manager keeps asking him to be checked. to retaliate.
Yeah.
Because that's going to happen eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Andy, thanks a lot for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
It's Andy Rogers. She covers the Kansas City Royals for MLB.com and joins us every week right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.